general aviation. Is it really safe and getting safer? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, also of Bob Miller Flight Training, based in the Buffalo, New York area at Lancaster Airport. And Bob, welcome in. I want to talk a little bit about some things you wrote about the Air Safety Foundation, AOPA's Air Safety Foundation, in the July issue of Over the Airwaves. And first, I want to talk about the bad news, and then second, I want to talk about the good news. And I guess bad news is maybe too strong a term, but you have some concerns about the data sets chosen by the Air Safety Foundation in talking about how safe general aviation is or what the trends are. Explain to our listeners why you're concerned.
Well, my concern goes back to, I think, a larger issue, and that is the role and the relationship of the Air Safety Foundation, which, by the way, is a wonderful, wonderful group that does some of the best safety training materials and promotions and programs of anybody out there. My concern, however, is the Air Safety Foundation data and how it is portrayed in the NUL report that they produce every year. Sometimes in the executive summary gives an impression that things are better than they really are. Almost in every air NUL report over the last 5 or 6 years, it comes out with a statement that we seem to be doing better. We're not there yet, but we seem to be doing better. And they pick data sets or periods of time that support the conclusion that we're doing better. And we just ran a random sampling of numbers ourselves based upon the 07 NUL report. AOPA Safety Foundation had used a 5-year average, and when you did the regression analysis on that 5 years, it was, in fact, a little bit better than the previous year. We are improving. But when we move the window wider to a 9-year period and do a linear regression on that, we see that we're getting slightly worse. The point being is the role of this Air Safety Foundation to give us the facts properly interpreted, or is their role to be a promoter of general aviation and to support and endorse AOPA's promotional efforts? And I perhaps a little bit more suspect than most believe, because the Air Safety Foundation is an arm of AOPA, that sometimes it gets itself into the position of supporting the AOPA flag waving effort, rather than telling us pilots frankly and boldly and quite directly that we're not getting better. In fact, if you look at the numbers over a larger period of time, we've been statistically flatlined for probably the last 15 years. A couple of data points will show us getting better, a couple showing us getting worse, but nonetheless, we're still a little bit more than 100 times riskier than hour for hour than airline flight. And that number has not improved at all in the last, 15, 16 years.
Well, now, I read the response by Bruce Landsberg, who is the head of the Air Safety Foundation, in Over the Airwaves. And first of all, kudos for giving him the opportunity to respond with enough time that he actually could in time for your publication. But he pointed out that that the Air Safety Foundation has consistently used 5-year rolling averages to produce these executive summaries, and that in order to keep it apples to apples, you can't keep moving the bar around. How would you respond to that? I know that you've thought that going back over previous NUL reports, it didn't seem to matter what 5-year period you took; they always came to that same conclusion.
Well, yeah, they do use the 5-year rolling report, and there's no argument. But in the quote that I used in my piece, I'm also quoting the NUL Foundation, and I'm quoting here, quote, "The GA accident rate per 100,000 flight hours continues its decade-long decline from 7.19 per 100,000 hours to 6.32. Now, there, they used a 10-year average to come up with their findings. So it's not only just a 5-year. They're picking various periods of time to support the point of view. Now, again, and this is purely personal from my perspective, Bruce does an excellent job, of course, in running the foundation. But I get the sense sometimes that the foundation, who is professionally minded, wanting to do the best job they can to enhance flight safety, Bruce's paycheck is signed by Phil Boyer, but not literally, but figuratively. I get the sense that the Air Safety Foundation is, in fact, an organization, although it's a separate corporation, an organizational element out of AOPA. Now, AOPA, on the other hand, has and is doing its proper role in promoting general aviation, waving the flag, selling it before Congress, selling members of the public on how great general aviation is, and that and clearly is their role, and that's why I send them my dues every year. But the Air Safety Foundation, to me, should be a little bit more distant, a little bit more objective. And to Bruce's credit, he says, you know, we sometimes do differ with AOPA. Or no, he doesn't say that. He sometimes does point out the fact that when the data takes a dip in the wrong direction, they point that up. But the main underlying concern, however, is if we're not taking the medicine, if the GA flying community, 500 plus thousand of us, it's estimated that barely 15% of us attend safety seminars. Barely 15% of us take online courses. Barely 15% of us are doing anything in response to our own training. Tells me that, do the math, 85% of us are not doing it. And why are we not doing it? And if we hear messages from our leaders that we're good and getting better and that the safety record is improving and whatever it is that you guys are doing out there, it's working, you know, wave the flag, go for it, then we're not going to be inclined. You know, Phil oftentimes says, rightly so, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. My response to that is, if the horse doesn't know he's thirsty, then he isn't going to drink.
Right.
And I think it's the role of the Air Safety Foundation to go a little bit more heart to heart, you know, let's take the pilot behind the woodshed and not give us reasons why or explanations or justifications why we are 100 times riskier than the airlines. It's not because we don't have two pilot crews. It's not because we, you know, fly in only in improved airports on known courses and routes. That's not the reason. I'm a proficient pilot because I train. I train regularly. I do my recurrent training. I fly often. That's why I'm not 100 times riskier than the airlines. And pilots who follow that regime, who do that kind of stuff, they too are not 100 times riskier than the airlines. This is what we need to hear, not platitudes or explanations as to why general aviation is inherently more risky. It isn't. It isn't inherently more risky. If we pilots do what the airline guys do, we would have the same high degree of safety that the airlines do.
Well, Bob, I think you've just in the last few minutes put in a nutshell the way in which over the airwaves is different in its perspective from almost anything else people will read out there, and I appreciate you doing that. Let's talk when we come back from the break about something that the Air Safety Foundation has done that you gave big kudos to, and that is the online flight instructor refresher course you took recently. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Do you feel stimulated? Hey, that's why Congress passed the Economic Stimulus Act of 2008, so loyal Americans like yourself would feel stimulated to help rev up the economy by spending money on important stuff like new Garmin avionics. We're talking potential tax incentives, bonus depreciation up to 50% in first-year cost allowances for qualified business use equipment purchases. See your tax advisor for guidance and your Garmin dealer for one whale of a stimulus package. It's almost like your patriotic duty, huh? Garmin, follow the leader.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the Journal for the Proficient Pilot, and of Bob Miller Flight Training. Bob, I want to talk about your recent online flight instructor refresher course that you took from the Air Safety Foundation, and I believe that you said in the July issue of Over the Airwaves that you went into this with lower expectations than you came out of it with, that it in some ways very much impressed you.
Well, I did. And as your listeners know, most of them, that flight instructors have to renew their certificates every 2 years. And there's a variety of ways of doing this. And I've done almost all of them, but I have not taken an online flight refresher, flight instructor refresher course, sometimes referred to as a FIRC. This year, I decided to do it, and several companies out there offer these kinds of online opportunities, American Flyers, GLIME. I decided to take AOPA, Air Safety Foundation's FERC, that's offered in cooperation with Jeppesen. And I guess I was expecting, not expecting a great deal from this. I expected that I might have to wrestle with a convoluted web structure, not unlike that we see with the new FAA Wings program, where I'd have to go through a steep learning curve just to figure out how the site works.
Right.
I expected also to hear some self-promoting of AOPA and the Air Safety Foundation and a lot of hype there. Well, let me say quickly that neither of those eventualities or predictions on my part came true. The site itself is like taking a warm knife through butter. It draws the reader in, it draws the user in into an incredibly simple structure. You just have to register online, give them a username and a password, pay them $119 via your credit card, and you're in. And then you can take it at your own pace. And then number two, there was not a lot of self-promotion of AOPA and the Air Safety Foundation or Jeppesen. It was right on, the curriculum is right on, the substance is relevant, and that was the third thing that truly impressed me, that I was expecting a rehash of the fundamentals of instruction and how to get students through the practical test standards, things like that that we've been reading about for 50 years. On the contrary, the whole first part of the program addressed very, very directly the notion of aeronautical decision-making ADM and fits FAA industry standards, training standards, and some scenario-based training. When I got into that, I really became enthused in what I was seeing. I was almost as if they had been reading over the airways, I will say immodestly, that they were right on the major concerns, the major issues. In the beginning, for example, they give comparative scenarios between two pilots, for example. One pilot, John, who was great at the maneuvers, great in the practice area, could nail turns on a point. And then Janie, who might have had some difficulty with the maneuvers. And then they fast forward a few weeks, and now these individuals are pilots. And Johnny, who was great with the maneuvers, he manages to fly himself directly through the throes of a thunderstorm. And Janie, who was somewhat timid to begin with, wasn't real great on the maneuvers, but had enough good common aeronautical decision-making ability to avoid the thunderstorm in the first place. This kind of scenario-based instruction is what is desperately needed in the flight training community. We've got to get our pilots out of the practice areas and into real live line-oriented training, again, much like what the airlines do. There is just so much to offer in this FERC, and you're talking, this is coming from an individual who tends to be somewhat critical of the traditional GA organizations. This
right.
time, I mean, they scored a home run with this one.
Well, and this is not a trivial course either. I think you told me that there are, 16 50-minute sessions that you have to take in order to get to the end of the course?
Yeah, I mean, this is no gimme. The other option on a FERC is to go for a full weekend, 2 8-hour days to some hotel or conference center or airport and sit through 8 hours of discussion. Well, the online version is 16 50-minute sessions. And you got to read. I mean, it will not let you pass to the next phase until you have actually read. And this is an interesting kind of a trick on how these things work. If you each 16-minute segment, you have to pass a 10-question final exam,
mm-hmm.
and you're allowed 2 tries. And if you can't pass it after the second try, you physically have to pick up a telephone, contact AOPA or Air Safety Foundation or somebody by phone, and get them to reset it so that you can try it a third time. Well, the obvious intent here is to prevent somebody from just randomly picking the right answer out of the 10 questions to get to the next module. That alone provides an incentive for the participant to read through it. Who among us would want to call AOPA and tell them that we failed the section twice and we need a third try? I mean, that just would not sit well with most of us.
Well, I was going to say that's a great less than subtle incentive to get it right in the first two tries. So,
and the only way to get it right in the first two tries is to read the material. And so I find myself, I've timed myself. These are 50-minute segments. It takes 50 minutes to get through them mm-hmm. and to read the material and to do it properly. I think online learning, this proved to me, if I had any question about the efficacy of online learning, even at the baccalaureate level at colleges, if they're run with the same consistent quality of this Air Safety Foundation Jeppesen program, then the online learning is where the future is.
Well, Bob, we really appreciate, speaking of online learning, we really appreciate Over the Airwaves every month when we get a chance to read it. And we appreciate your taking some time out each Monday to join us here on the Aero News special feature. And thanks for doing so today.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
You can find a link to Bob Miller's writings on Over the Airwaves at overtheairwaves.com. And you'll also find a link there to Bob Miller Flight Training Incorporated. Bob Miller has been my guest, and you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.